Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I've been thinking a lot about God's dream lately and thinking about how we are called to help make God's dream come true. And I was reminded, actually in a dream, that many years ago, when I was a senior in college, I had written down some of my dreams for the world. We had a very robust chapel program and at my college. We were required to go 3 times a week. And some folks in their senior year, every year, were invited to share with the chapel their dreams for the world. And although I wasn't asked to do that, I still wanted to put some of my dreams into words. So these are some dreams for the world from 22-year-old Anna. My dream is that people wouldn't be quick to give easy and trite answers, but that they would live in the tension of things being complex, and that they would think critically. My dream is that the church would call leaders based on giftedness, not on gender. My dream is that God's love would motivate all that I do. My dream is that no human, no woman or child would have to know about or even experience rape, molestation, sexual assault, or even unwanted advances. That no one would ever have to suffer abuse of any kind. My dream is that animal cruelty would be eliminated. My dream is that wars and violence of all kinds would end, and that peace would truly reign. My dream is that no one in a nursing home would be lonely or forgotten. My dream is that all people would be respected and valued simply because they are created in the image of God, especially by Christians who know that to be true. My dream is that no one would ever go hungry again. My dream is that Christians would stop judging others for any reason. My dream is that there would be peace in the world and peace in my heart. My dream is that the church would work actively to eliminate racism and prejudice of all kinds. My dream is that people would not make choices and decisions based on greed and selfishness. My dream is that parents of children with disabilities wouldn't have to fight so hard and advocate so much for their children to have what they need. My dream is that senior adults wouldn't have to work in restaurants or at Walmart because they can't afford to live otherwise. My dream is that no child would ever feel unloved or unwanted. My dream is that God would heal my brokenness and bind up my wounds. Those are just a few of the dreams that I had when I was just a young girl. You know, I did get invited back to my college to actually speak in chapel after I graduated from seminary the first time in 2009. It was the largest crowd that I'd ever preached in front of, over 1,000 students, including former professors whose classrooms I had sat in and folks I had learned from. And they invited me back because that semester, they were gonna be talking about in chapel all year long, all semester long, what does it mean to care for the alien or the migrant, the orphan and the widow in Scripture, because this is a primary theme all throughout Scripture. What does it mean to care for the migrant, the orphan, and the widow? And someone had heard about my master's thesis, A Trinitarian Theology of Care, and how what we do as we care for others is deeply rooted in our baptism. And so they invited me back, and I got to preach in chapel. And I got to sit down with some professors and students and explore with them how the very foundation of care and the people that God calls us to care for is rooted in God's character and in God, our baptism. I don't know if you know this, but there are over 2,000 Bible verses in which God calls God's people to care for the migrant, the orphan, and the widow. Over 2,000. Did any of you know that? That's right, Pastor Jennifer. Pastor Jennifer knows that's right. I'm not exaggerating. There are over 2,000 verses in the Bible that call us to care for the migrant, the orphan, and the widow. It's one of the most predominant themes all throughout Scripture. It is God's dream that God's people would care for the migrant, the orphan, and the widow, those who are the most vulnerable in society, those who are economically vulnerable in society. All throughout the Hebrew Scriptures, we know them as the Old Testament, the prophets speak to people exploiting them and participating in economic oppression. God wanted God's people to care for the marginalized and the vulnerable just as God cared for them. And so here are just a few examples. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Defend the rights of the poor. Do not exploit the poor. Whoever oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed. Take up the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. Woe to those who make unjust laws, to those who issue oppressive decrees, to those who deprive the poor of their rights and withhold justice from the migrant and the oppressed. How about when Jesus began his ministry? He said very clearly that his mission was to come and to bring good news to the poor. He said a little bit later in the Beatitudes, "Blessed are the poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." He also said, "What you do for the least among you, you do for me." And conversely, what we don't do for the least of these, we don't do for Jesus. And he said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and your mind and your soul and your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself." Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. Not love your neighbor less than you love yourself. And so when we get to today's gospel lesson, you know, we often look at this passage as the widow being a model for sacrificial giving. And Jesus does lift her up as faithful and generous. But what's actually happening in this passage is far more complex. Jesus is critiquing the blatant hypocrisy of the religious leaders who were greedily preying upon the poor for their own personal gain while they were pretending to be religious or pious. In fact, Jesus touches on the truth that if they actually were religious or pious, they would be caring for the poor, not preying on the poor. What's happening in this passage is that Jesus is actually pointing out the widow as an example of the very commonly known laws of Israel that call God's people to treat widows sympathetically. He's also talking about the Hebrew Scriptures that consistently, over and over, express God's displeasure with those who neglect or oppress them. So therefore, anyone who knows the will of God expressed in the law, especially the religious leaders, they should know that they are to share God's deep concern for the plight of the widows and all those in need. In today's gospel lesson, Jesus is calling out these hypocritical religious leaders, and he is condemning them for having such deliberate disregard for God's law and for God's people. Jesus is very clear in his ministry. He does not mince words, that he has come to turn the world upside down. The kingdom of God that Jesus brought with him and that God is continuing to bring among us is vastly different than the kingdom of this world. God created all people, and God loves all people, and God cares for all people. And in God's kingdom, God clearly, over 2,000 times in Scripture, calls God's people to care for the migrant, the orphan, and the widow, the most vulnerable in society. And when we do, we are doing the will of God. We aren't just saying, "Thy kingdom come and thy will be done." We are helping God's kingdom come with our actions. We are helping God's dream to come true. Brothers and sisters, with his life and his ministry, Jesus makes it very clear that the values of the kingdom of God differ greatly from the values of this world. And we are called, whether we like it or not, whether we want to or not, we are called to live differently. We are called to live out our baptismal promises, to proclaim the good news of God in Christ through word and deed. We just heard Jesus say in Scripture he's going to bring good news to the poor. We are to proclaim good news, the good news of God in Christ through word and deed. In our baptism, we are called to serve all, A-L-L, serve all people, following the example of Jesus, and to strive for peace and justice in all of the earth. And part of that justice is caring for the migrant, the orphan, and the widow. And so I'd like to leave you this morning with a Franciscan blessing. Dear companions on our baptismal journey, may God bless you with discomfort. May God bless you with discomfort at easy answers and half-truths, so that you may live deep within your heart. May God bless you with anger at injustice and oppression and exploitation of people, so that you may work for justice and freedom and peace. May God bless you with tears to shed for those who suffer pain, for those who suffer rejection and hunger and war, so that you may reach out your hand to comfort them and to turn their pain to joy. May God bless you with the conviction that you may regret the ways you've conformed to the values of this world rather than to the values of God's kingdom, so that your world will be turned upside down, so that you would care for the migrant and the orphan and the widow just as God does, with love and compassion and generosity. And may God bless you with enough foolishness to believe that you can make a difference in the world, so that you can do what others claim cannot be done. May it be so. Amen.